Coming up next on The Voice of Alabama Politics, an aging prison population. Also, Nathaniel Ledbetter selected as Speaker of the House. And how woke is Alabama?
Listen, little girl, if you're smart, you'll cut this con artist off right now.
Yeah, about that woke. All this and much, much more coming up next on The V. Welcome to The Voice of Alabama Politics, where we tackle the tough issues so you have the hard facts. I'm your host, Bill Britt, and today I'm joined by Susan Britt, research guru extraordinaire, and Josh Moon, investigative reporter and columnist at APR. Welcome.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Josh.
You know, elections are over.
Thank God.
Thank God. And the Democrats and the Republicans here in the state of Alabama have elected new leadership. I want to first take a look at the leadership and the Republican Party. They hold the supermajority. And the caucus met this past week and elected Nathaniel Ledbetter as the Speaker of the House. He replaces Mac McCutcheon. The caucus has voted, which means he gets to become speaker, but the body has to vote on it also, Susan. Mm-hmm. But we've known Nathaniel Ledbetter since he came to Montgomery, and I feel very good about his speakership. I think it'll be very different, or be quite different from Mac McCutcheon's, who was quite different than Mike Hubbard's.
Right. So I think it's going to be a welcome change. Of course, you know, Mike Hubbard was an iron fist. Mac McCutcheon was kind of, you know, it had a little problem with the taking on the reins very much. But I think Nathaniel Ledbetter is going to be a nice balance there where he'll be in leadership, but also be very reasonable at the same time.
Well, I think that Mac McCutcheon did a fantastic job.
But
he followed Josh on a dictator.
You know?
And I mean, he followed a guy who was an absolute, you know, dictator who controlled everything. And I think he was a lot more even-handed. And therefore, some people, you know, I find this all the time, is that people mistake kindness for weakness. And I don't think that was Mac's case at all. But
I don't think he was weak. I wouldn't say that. But I also think that some people took advantage of him, you know, in trying to be even-handed. And so maybe there were some things at times that needed to get done. That didn't, because, you know, the crazy wing of the party, you know, took a stand and he didn't want to cut them off. And so I think some of that happened, certainly. But, you know, I with Nathaniel Ledbetter, I think Susan's right. He's a reasonable guy. You know, it's weird how, you know, when it comes down to actual leadership of the parties, both sides, typically, no matter whether it's in the Alabama State House or nationally, you know, they tend to pick people who are reasonable people, who can get along with the other side for the most part, and who have, you know, the ability to go in and negotiate complicated matters. And I think that's Nathaniel Ledbetter.
I think that's true, too. And I think that's really, I mean, you have maybe 30% of the base that of both parties that would be more than happy to burn the other side to the ground. But that's not the way the United States of America works, and it's not the way Alabama works.
No, it's not.
You know, if you look historically, we elect moderates more often on the national level. And even when we support candidates, many times it's the more extremes that get all the attention, but it's actually the moderates who get the work done.
You're right.
And I'm not
that.
Saying Nathaniel Ledbetter is anything but a conservative. I'm just saying that he is a reasonable person.
I'm going to hate most of what he does. There's no doubt about that. So, I mean, he'll be fine in that category. But, I mean, it's, but at the same time, I don't think he's going to be, you know, this crazy person running around that's, you know, talking about transgender bathrooms and CRT all the time. So I think they're going to actually have to get things done, because you have a group of serious people that go to the legislature wanting business to get accomplished. And, you know, that those things have to get done.
And they do. Susan, one of the things that's going to be most interesting to watch is there are 26 mm-hmm. new Republican lawmakers in the House. 26. That's like a third, right?
That's a lot. That's a lot. And, you know, it's, so that means that, you know, this process during this quadrennium is going to get off to a little slower of a start simply because they don't know their rules yet. They don't know exactly how it works. But fresh faces are always a good thing.
Well, you know, I mean, my advice to anybody coming into the legislature is learn the rules of the House.
They're right there on the website.
And don't believe a lobbyist when he tells you that you're the only person who can carry this bill. You're my man. You're the only person, right, Josh?
Right. Yeah. And if somebody's giving you something, they want something back. All right.
Now,
Montgomery is not a free town. All right. You don't just all of a sudden show up and people start handing you things for free. So if they're handing you something, they're wanting something in return. But yeah, learn the rules. Go to the Alvin Holmes School of Lawmaking. Learn the rules. Yep. Learn how to work them. Know what you're getting yourself into, and be wary of pretty much everybody.
I think it's always interesting because everybody comes to Montgomery saying, "Well, we're going to change Montgomery," and 99 times, you know, out of 100. Montgomery changes them. There is something about when you walk through that state house door, you walk into another realm. It's all of a sudden, everything you thought you knew about government, you're confronted with the fact that you didn't know diddly squat.
I know there was a candidate that I won't name any names in this last election that he's going to go down there into the caucus and he's going to change everything. And I'm like, you realize there are more people than just one in the caucus, right?
Nah.
And you might want to back those words up because it's not person is not going to go in there and change everybody. I'm sorry.
It's going to be interesting to watch how it goes.
It's like watching teenagers, you know, predict what life is going to be like for them.
Exactly.
Know? I mean, it really is.
Exactly.
It's like watching them say, "Oh, I'm going to go and do this," and no, you're not. You're not. It's just not. It's not the way life works.
No.
You know.
Because the rest of them are sitting around going, "Come on, boy.
Listen. You can go down there though and be a serious lawmaker. Take your job seriously, and do your job, and just come the hell home. Don't get involved in nonsense. Don't get yourself arrested. Don't do stupid things."
And I think that's what we hope for all of them. We got just a less than a minute here. Anthony Daniels remained the leader of the Democratic minority.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
also, Josh, they nominated two women this time. Two women.
I think it's a very important step for them in the party with Mary Moore and Barbara Drummond being near the top of the leadership there. I know that was something when I talked to Anthony Daniels about this that he really wanted to get done. He really appreciated them and their leadership over the years and what they had been able to do within the party in terms of fundraising and organizing people behind legislation that they felt was important. And so I think those two ladies, even before this leadership appointment, I think they were very important to the party already, and so I think mm-hmm. that they'll get some things done. And with Anthony at the top, I think that's a pretty key role, and I think there are a lot of folks that really appreciate him and the way he's led that caucus.
Absolutely, we have to leave it right there. We wish them all the best for the state of Alabama. We'll be right back.
There seems to be a new wave of aggressive driving lately.
You see those people, they are the ones that are tailgating other people because they have to get through their destination now.
Weaving in and out of traffic, looks like they could care less about who's around them. There's no one else on the roadway. They're the only one there.
Aggressive driving can be the difference between life and death.
All because somebody thought they needed to be the front of the line and get there first.
Slow down. Don't be the reason that someone else doesn't go home tonight.
My dog Jupiter is frightened when I climb too high, the owl said.
Check for monsters, Daddy.
I did, honey. There are no monsters. You're perfectly safe.
Protect yourself and those you love. Vaccinate now.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You know, Susan, elections are one thing. Governing is something else. You know, it's like they say in movies and comedy, dying is easy, comedy's hard. You know, I always look at like running elections. Yeah, that might be tough, but actually governing is difficult. Nationally, we've seen this sort of perpetual campaign mode. But here in Alabama, we tend to get out of campaign mode, except for a few crazies, and get down to governing. That's where the rubber meets the road, really.
It is. It is. You know, Alabamians tend to be, want to go to work. We always want to go to work. That's in our nature. And I think that's true with the legislature as well. This quadrennium, we've got some very serious issues to look at. We've got, you know, economic development. We've got the gaming bill. We've got health care. There's a big issue in the state right now. And I think that's going to really take some reasonable heads that sit down around a table and are going to be able to talk these things through. And hopefully this new legislature will be able to do that.
Josh, President Pro Tem Greg Reed is easily going to lead the Senate. If you say leading the Senate is actually easy, Nathaniel Ledbetter in the House. Governor Kay Ivey, we know historically that nothing ever happens big unless the governor leads.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I'll say this. I think you're right, first of all. You're right with the governor having to be involved in a lot of these big decisions and big movements. I mean, you know, think of the gas tax and prisons and things just under Kay Ivey's leadership. Those were your big things that nobody really thought they were going to get done, especially the gas tax. And, you know, right. And with her push, they were able to move it across the finish line. You know, I think that, you know, the Democrats, if they had a machine, could have certainly beat them over the head with that. But listen, that's life, you know. But she got it done, and I think you're right about that. She does have now, I think, two pretty good, reasonable, strong leaders in the House and the Senate, in Ledbetter and Reed. Right. So I think that she has that going for her, and I think that she has some people that she can work with. And you're right, though, it's time to move forward. On things and get some stuff done and leave a lot of the nonsense behind, because I think what these Republicans in Alabama should realize now is that they're winning here because it's the thing to do to vote for Republicans. And it doesn't have anything to do with these hot topic issues of transgender bathrooms and CRT. That's, you know, nationally, we saw that there were millions and millions of dollars spent on those issues to promote them and push them to try to scare people, and it didn't work.
It didn't matter at all. I think fundamentally, the people of Alabama want leaders to move the fortunes of the state forward so that it inevitably brings a better quality of life for the citizens. I mean, when we talk about education, we talk about economic development, we talk about the money from gaming to expand, you know, healthcare. What we're talking about is quality of life for people.
Well, we've seen them be able to do this in that just since last September, we've added 50,000 jobs openings to the state of Alabama. They've done it before. They can get serious with these issues and do it again.
I mean, Josh, where you live is one of the most prosperous, expanding spots in the state. Much of that is because of the federal dollars, courtesy of Richard Shelby, that have come into that area. And the quality of life in Huntsville and Madison is extraordinary by Alabama standards.
Oh, it's like a whole different world up here. I mean, it really is. You know, and honestly, you know, I was thinking as y'all were talking about this, do you know of a lawmaker in our recent history that lost an election after being an effective lawmaker on the issues? Do we know of a person? I know a bunch of the you know, the yellers, the guys that, you know, carnival barkers that have lost and had to go home. But I don't know of a single person that could walk into tomorrow into a town hall meeting or whatever they have and say, listen, I helped save the rural hospital, or I helped bring the rural hospital back here. And man, you'd be in the good graces for life, okay?
Yeah.
So go and lead and do good things for people and stop the nonsense.
And I think that's what the people of Alabama, as you said before, good hardworking folks. We all know what it's like to work for a living. Now, these lawmakers, they have pretty good jobs. They're making $53,000 a year in an off year. So they've got good jobs. Most of them have even jobs on top of that job.
Yes, they do.
But it's the people of Alabama that they work for. And I think sometimes they forget that it's the people they work for. I don't forget that I work for the people. Every day, a reporter gets up and knows who he works for, right, Josh?
Yeah. Well, I do it for the kids, but, you know, everything I do is for the kids. But, you know, listen, you're right, though. This is who they work for. And I'll tell you what would help them remember is, you know, if the people who vote for them would actually remind them of this and force them to pay attention to the issues and tell them repeatedly, I don't care about being, you know, woke or CRT or whatever out there. I want you to go and do work.
You know, I think you make a really good point there, Josh, in that you can't just vote and let it go. You need to, as a voter, stay involved with your representatives, follow what they're doing, give them a, you know, attaboy, give them the, nah, you know better than that every now and then. And I think that will help them kind of keep focused.
Unfortunately, it's the far wings of the party that do that and not the everyday folks that really, you know, make the world go round. I do want to address what Josh said about woke. I asked this question, how woke is Alabama? Well, woke is about as, but Alabama is about as woke as a jackass in August. They are dead asleep when it comes to woke. Yeah. And then we talk about divisive concepts in Alabama's schools. But if you look at the test scores, the most divisive issue in Alabama schools is math.
Yeah. Do yourself a favor. Go to your phone. Go to Google. Look up CRT prerequisites. Prerequisite is a university term to start with. And then see where that's available. University of Connecticut, Duke, University of Tennessee, Dartmouth, Brown. Those are not names of Alabama schools as far as I'm aware.
Could you spell prerequisite for us, please?
It's a college-level elective at Duke. You have to have a JD before you can even apply to take the class.
Well, again, all this was, as you pointed out, it was hype to try to get voters to be angry and to worry about something that only exists in the fevered mind of cable television and talk radio. But we're going to have to leave it right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back.
Throughout my career, I've seen many crashes, and a lot of the fatalities are from people who haven't worn their seatbelt.
Cars have rolled over multiple times. I've had people end up in lakes, ravines. I've been looking for people in the woods for a couple hours before.
Usually just about every bone in their body is broken, their organs have ruptured, and typically they die.
You want to save a life? Just simply click a button and put the seatbelt on.
Seatbelts really do save lives.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You know, we need a strong two-party system in Alabama. Mm-hmm.
We do.
Because if you look at the state, you know, we're basically 60-40 divided. It doesn't mean that 40% of the votes for Democrats doesn't matter. It matters. Mm-hmm. And it matters. We do not want to live where a majority is our tyrants. We just, you know, and tells everybody what they've got to do all the time. It's just not the way it should work. But unfortunately, the Alabama Democratic Party as soon as they start to appear to be getting their act together, Josh just start fighting with themselves.
Yeah.
What's the deal?
Oh, well, it's like Seinfeld. What is the deal? Yeah. No, it's, you know, honestly, man, it's really frustrating and disappointing to watch this continue to happen over and over again. And I understand to a certain degree, the hurt feelings and the jealousy that's there on both sides, although I think a lot of it is misplaced. Recently, the more recent thing that we're discussing now is Randy Kelly having an issue with his vice chair. Randy Kelly's the chairman of the Alabama Democratic Party. I know some people may not know that. But Tabitha Eisner is the vice chair of the party. And he had a problem with her sending out communications to people and wanted her to stop doing this. Felt like she was kind of going over his head, so to speak, or taking away some of his responsibilities. I think there's a good argument to be made that, some people were asking for things that they didn't believe that they were receiving from the party that they should be, and she was kind of trying to fill the gap. I think that's a reasonable thing to say. But regardless, they're fighting with each other, and it looks like children to the outside world, particularly to the business owners and people who think, like we do, that there needs to be a viable second party. All right? It doesn't mean that Democrats necessarily have to be leading, but we shouldn't have a supermajority of Republicans or of any one party. We shouldn't have a supermajority of Democrats or of Libertarians. Although I do like that smoke weed and no taxes thing. But it's, honestly, we're never going to get there like this. All right. There is a stranglehold in this state on the business community because they go to Republicans to get their business done right now.
Right,
okay.
Right.
And the Democrats have got to figure out a way to break that stranglehold. And this ain't it, man.
Businesses go to where they can get things accomplished.
Yeah.
I mean, I love it when these folks, crazy people, talk about woke corporation. Corporations go wherever their customers go.
Right.
Yes. I mean, if you look at most CEOs of the companies in this state or in any state, they are somewhere between Mitt Romney and Joe Biden.
Yeah.
They really are.
Yeah, that's
a CEO. They are not crazy people. They are moderates who care about their customers because their customers bring them dollars, and dollars, are how corporations
and
work.
And corporations like stability.
Yeah.
They like, so if you're a Democratic operative and you're going to a corporation to ask for funding, to raise money, do they really want to put money into somewhere that there's constant five-year-old mine kind of thing? I don't think so.
And I will say, I do not know Chairman Kelly at all. I know Tabitha Eisner somewhat. These are people that I don't know except politically. I will say this, Tabitha Eisner is the best communications individual the party has had in years.
Mm-hmm.
She talks to the press. She sounds reasonable. She toes the Democratic Party line.
She knows her stuff, too.
She knows what she's talking about. Now, I don't know anything else about her, but that's good when you're looking at the press, right, Josh?
It is. And, it's... so I understand to a certain extent Randy Kelly and some of the folks on his side being upset with her for constantly giving out quotes and things like that to the media. On the other hand, at this particular juncture, you don't have anybody else there providing anything. Okay.
Right.
You don't have, and for whatever the reason, you can blame it on whoever you want to blame it on, but you don't have the people doing social media or being a communications manager, or you don't have those people to quickly respond to media. And so they go to Tabitha Eisner and call her and say, "Hey, what did we think about this?" And she is always ready with a reasoned response, an informed response about an issue. And she gives you a good quote that reflects well on the Democratic Party, I think, and the Democratic Party's positions on these issues. And
it
so
does.
You've got to give her credit for that, man.
Yeah. And look, that's leadership in my book. If you're getting your message out, that's leading. But
what's leadership is saying, I don't like that she's doing all this, but I know she's good at it, and I'm going to keep using the hell out of her to do these things. That's
right,
leadership.
And sit down and have a conversation and figure out what you want that message to go, and let her go do her
work. Well, we only got about a minute and a half left, and this is a very important subject. A study by Alabama Appleseed has revealed that the aging prison population problem is growing and growing. Over the last 5 decades, Susan, the individuals over 50 in our prisons has risen by almost 4,000%.
Right. It's amazing. And it for those of us who've actually been to a prison in Alabama, you go by the infirmary, you see a gentleman in his 70s, he's missing a leg, sitting in a wheelchair. Exactly how dangerous is he to society? Maybe we need to find a way to address this in a way that is not so costly to the state, but, you know, helps the individual and it helps our overcrowding. We've got to do something.
I mean, Josh, we're spending hundreds of millions of dollars. I think our latest contract for 6 months for health care was over $100 million. I mean, and these folks, elderly folks, require more health care than young folks. That's just
a fact. Listen, there's other states have done this. You can do it in a compassionate way for the people involved, and you can also do it in a way that's safe for the people, the rest of society. Judge these people on what they've done over the last several years while they've been in prison, judge them on their past crimes, judge them on what their current health is, and send them to house arrest like other states do. This is not a hard issue.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. We can't put it off and expect for it to take care of itself, because as poor as the health care is in prison, people are living longer, unless you're in Alabama prison, I guess. If you're a young person in Alabama prison, you don't live that long. But we're going to have to leave it right there. You've been watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You watch us because we watch them.